This is Bristol, and you are listening to a podcast from the Bristol Confringe reading series. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another Bristol Confringe. For those of you listening on the podcast, it's the middle of July and British summer has finally started. It's actually kind of warm out there, which means that all of the British people are lying around like beached whales saying it's much too hot. I, being used to Australia and California, are saying, pleasantly warm, isn't it? But there you go. Anyway, for a day in which it is very hot outside for the locals, we at Bristol Confringe have decided we're going to do a horror special. Quite how this works, I don't entirely know. Perhaps all of the victims are going to be burned alive or something like that. We shall see. And without any further ado, let us welcome our first reader, Mr. Thomas David Parker.
Hello. Let me just tilt that up. There we are. Okay, so this is a Somerset one. Not Somerset, it's set in summer. It's called A Day at the Lake. Meta closed her eyes as she started her playlist. Soon the comforting sound of Green Day filled her ears and the world began to melt away. She'd gone for a hike to a lake with her husband, but things hadn't gone according to plan. It had taken them hours to get there. Her husband enjoyed hikes and had found a scenic trail online he wanted to try out. Unfortunately, he neglected to mention it was up the side of a mountain. Literally, the side of a mountain. And had told her that it would be worth it. However, as the day wore on, Meta and her blistered feet became less and less convinced. The plan had been to find a nice remote place to enjoy the beautiful sunshine. Yet, when they reached the lake, they were confronted with a busy tourist hotspot with a crowd of almost 1,000 people. There was even a shop selling souvenirs. Meta was not pleased. She shot a look at her husband as he desperately tried to come up with a positive spin on the situation, but he knew it was hopeless. "Is this your idea of a remote and romantic getaway?" she said, goading him into a response.
"Well, it looked pretty isolated on the map. I didn't think that many people would find it," he replied sheepishly.
"There's a fucking road, Christopher," Meta gestured to the smooth asphalt that led to a neatly maintained car park. Christopher knew he was defeated and started to apologise. However, just as he began to explain that on the map the road looked too narrow for cars, he was drowned into silence by the roar of a bus engine. Meta stared at him in furious silence as a herd of tourists disembarked and their screaming kids ran into the water. The tension was fierce. The only thing that saved him from complete disembowelment was his obvious shock and mortification about the whole thing. As angry as she was, Meta couldn't help but pity her poor husband as she saw his romantic plans fall apart in front of them. She hated that, how his poor puppy dog expression always made her sympathetic, when what she really wanted him to do was crawl away and die. Well, maybe not die, but go somewhere where he could go and start fixing things. Frustration overwhelmed her as the fact that they had put themselves in this position. She looked at him and his hangdog expression. It was hard staying mad at him when he was just so apologetic, and it made her furious. Fortunately for Christopher, he knew one surefire way to cling on to survival in these circumstances and quickly went to the shop to buy his wife some cigarettes. Meanwhile, Meta sat alone at a picnic table and began watching the various group of people at the water's edge. There were screaming kids, probably pissing and shitting in the water and running around in such a fashion that sooner or later they would fall over and get injured. Meanwhile, their oblivious parents would probably try and blame someone else for their injuries. Why is it that new parents have such an amazing skill to ignore the shortfalls in their child-rearing abilities? The dicks. Then there was the group of doddering old people, probably pissing and shitting in the water and shuffling around in such a fashion that sooner or later they'd fall over and get injured. Of course, then everyone would run to help them because, you know, the elderly. Meta hoped they'd trip over the children and wipe out both groups in one go. The dicks. And finally, there were the young, beautiful couples a bit further down, their bodies so pristine that they probably never had a piss or shit in their entire lives, laughing and joking and running around in such a fashion that everyone was acutely aware they were too graceful to fall over and get injured. Their lives were perfect, and they were oblivious to anything that wasn't. The dicks. This is why Meta resorted to closing her eyes and listening to Green Day. Everything was better when she listened to Green Day. They were the best band in the world, and sure enough, her mood began to improve. She imagined a monster from the bottom of the lake rising up and devouring the crowd. It was glorious. Soon, Christopher returned with her cigarettes. He had bought an ice cream and an inflatable Lilo too. He was a good boy, Meta thought. A bit simple at times, but loyal and eager to please. They settled down on a small section of the shore that was a little bit removed from the crowds. It was slightly muddy, but firm enough that they could sit and not sink. They sat on their bags to keep their clothes clean and ate their ice creams in awkward silence. Meta's residual anger was ebbing away, but she hadn't quite forgiven Christopher just yet. He seemed to know this instinctively, so rather than try and say anything, he resorted to blowing up the Lilo instead. Meta watched him huff and puff while she gently sucked on her cigarette. His shoulders were rising and falling with each deep breath. She watched his muscles move under his t-shirt and the sweat beads on the back of his neck. It was erotic in a weird sort of way, the submissive act of exertion as a form of redemption. She would forgive him, Meta decided, but she liked the idea of making him work for it. She finished her cigarette, stripped down to her bikini, and began to saunter down to the water's edge. She moved slowly and purposefully and as gracefully as possible to make sure her husband noticed. Then she stood for a moment, just long enough for him to take in her beauty, before she slid into the lake. The temperature was warm enough to make it feel like a bath, and it soothed her skin. She relaxed her muscles and stretched out as she floated on the surface. Then she turned to face her husband. "Aren't you joining me then?" she asked with mock indignation.
"Almost finished," Christopher panted.
Meta formed a wry smile in the corner of her mouth. She kicked out with both legs and propelled herself away from the shore.
"Don't be too long," she said with a purr, enjoying the sight of him frantically trying to complete his task. The poor boy wasn't the strongest swimmer, and she knew she had power in this position.
"Done,"
he cried out and threw the inflatable onto the water. He leapt in after, and a huge wave rose up out of the impact, a wave which consumed Meta entirely. She spluttered and tried to stand up so she could catch her breath, but the water was too deep and she sank beneath the surface. In reflex, her body tensed as adrenaline flooded her system and she frantically kicked upwards. There was a moment of panic before she broke through and could taste clear air again. Once the moment had passed, and after a few spluttering coughs, her rage returned and it was stronger than ever.
"Fucking hell, Christopher!"
"Sorry, Metty, are you all right?"
Christopher began to paddle up to her, but she swam a few strokes away to keep the distance between them.
"No! The water's too deep and I don't need you piling more on top. I almost drowned."
"Oh shit, I'm sorry,"
he said, and Meta could tell he meant it. She looked away. She wasn't ready to forgive him, and she knew he was using his puppy dog eyes.
"Meta, I mean it. I didn't think and I'm sorry."
"Yeah, well, you always seem to be apologizing at the moment, don't you?"
As she said the words, Meta realized they cut more deeply than she intended, but she couldn't take them back. Christopher grabbed the inflatable and swam up to her.
"I'm sorry, Meta. I've been a twat, haven't I?"
His eyes searched for hers, and when they made contact, they communicated so much. The concern, the worry, the hurt, and yet still a sense of humour. In that moment, they both realised that the spat was silly and pointless, but there were still some words that needed to be said.
"Yes, you have," agreed Meta. "Completely."
"A complete twat, you're right,"
he nodded.
"You're absolutely right, but please give me a chance to make it up to you."
"What did you have in mind?"
Meta sighed, but as she did so, she couldn't help her small smile creeping to her lips.
"Well, you can have this for a start,"
he said as he leaned forward and kissed her. His lips were still hot from his inflating efforts. The kiss was gentle, and he stroked some strands of hair from her cheek. She kissed him back, harder. Reaching round him, she dug her nails into his back and pulled him close. The kiss became more passionate, and Meta soon began to feel him getting hard. The thrill of excitement was cut short, though, as a child let out a piercing scream from further down the beach and reminded them how close they were to civilization. With the moment gone, Meta broke away from the kiss.
"Promise me you'll never infect me with one of those," she said sternly.
"I promise," he said. "Now let's do what we came here to do and relax."
And with that, Christopher grabbed the Lilo and held it steady as Meta rolled onto it. Then he went and fetched the cigarettes, phone, headphones and sunglasses so that soon she was relaxing, in comfort, and listening to her music. After all the chaos, Meta finally found herself fully able to unwind. In fact, she felt very decadent. Floating in the sunshine, eyes closed and music stimulating her imagination, Meta pretended that she was in a private pool outside her own mansion. No, that she was in a bay on the edge of her own private island.
Yeah, that was it. The light sea breeze and tropical fish swimming beneath her in crystal clear water. There was a distant murmur through the music as Christopher called out that he was heading back to the shop. He was buying a second inflatable, and did she want anything? Meta shook her head. She had everything she wanted right here. Sun, cigarettes, and Green Day in her ears. She smiled as she felt herself drifting away on the water, and the real world faded away. Meta imagined Billy Joe was singing only for her when one of her favourite songs came on, Wake Me Up When September Ends. He was her one celebrity sex fantasy. In fact, Meta had been having sex fantasies about Billy Joe Armstrong for as long as she could remember having sex fantasies. Their relationship was a fully formed creation inside her mind, and it had been going on so long that it felt like one of the most real relationships she had ever had. She imagined him entering the water and swimming up to her, stroking her hair and running his fingers over her body. His hands were light and cool against her hot skin. It brought her out in goosebumps. A smile rose to her lips and she shifted her weight as she crossed her legs. Wetness covered the back of her thighs. It was cold and clammy. Wait, what? Meta opened her eyes as she snapped out of her reverie. Lake water had breached the surface of the inflatable Lilo and had begun to pool in the curves and dips caused by her body. Its chill felt unnatural and invasive, and instinctively she sat up. But this only caused more water to flow over her. She scooped her hands and started pushing it off the Lilo, feeling annoyed at the interruption, especially as she couldn't see what caused it. She was thinking whether it was a rogue wave or a surge caused by something passing her, when there was a sharp pull on her ears as her headphones were yanked from her head. It was followed by a moment of confusion before Meta had the inevitable and terrible realization of what happened and looked down to see her phone sinking into the depths of the lake. She reached down to grab the headphones, but as she tried to pull them up, they tugged out of the socket and the phone was gone. Fuck! She yelled, upset and frustrated by the loss. She knew she had insurance, but she hated the inconvenience. Plus, there were photos from that morning that hadn't been packed up. Chris! She called out, but Chris didn't answer. Meta looked up to see where he was, but then realised another horrifying problem. Somehow, she had drifted out into the centre of the lake, and the shore was far off in the distance. She couldn't believe she had drifted this far. How had she not noticed the pull from the current? Then she remembered what she was thinking about the moment before she opened her eyes. Billy Joe. Meta realised that she could have been tied to a speedboat and not realised the movement. She took in her surroundings. There was no perceivable current now, and the water seemed very still. There was also some low-level mist forming over the surface of the water, which she assumed must be caused by some atmospheric pressure due to the altitude. However, it still unnerved her how sudden the weather had changed. The air seemed different, colder. Meta was covered in goosebumps and nervous. It must be pretty deep at this point in the lake, and she only realised there was no point swimming to dive in and retrieve her phone. The only thing she could do was begin to swim to shore. She slid off the inflatable and into the lake. She let out a gasp at the chilling water consumed her. It felt like a completely different body of water to the one she'd entered with her husband. Meta pulled the Lilo under her arms and chin. She leaned forward and kicked. Her skin stung with the cold, but she tried to push it from her mind. She looked to the horizon and swam. She could see the shop on the shore in the distance, but the people were too small and indistinguishable to see which was her husband. It was unbelievable how far away they appeared, but then Meta remembered hearing something about how distance to the horizon isn't as far as it seems. Or was it that it's further than it seems? Fuck it, she had no choice but to keep swimming. She found herself getting annoyed at Chris. Why did he not shout or call to her when he saw her drifting out? He couldn't have spent all this time at the shop. She groaned inwardly as she imagined him trying to call her and wondering why her phone was going straight to voicemail. She swam and swam, but the shore didn't seem to be getting any closer. She tried to work out how long she'd been on the inflatable with her eyes shut. She'd listened to about 3 songs, so maybe 10 or 15 minutes. Even in the strong current, it shouldn't take too long to get back to shore. But after a while, she didn't seem to be getting any closer. Meta began to count to herself, so she would have a rough concept of time as she swam. She counted to 100, but the horizon stayed the same. She counted to 200, then 3, but still the horizon stayed the same. Meta tried not to panic. She swam harder, her heart beating hard in her chest, and sweat dripped down her face and stung her eyes. She swam so hard that eventually her legs were exhausted, and she had to straddle the inflatable just to keep herself afloat. She lay there for a while. It'll be okay, she told herself. If there's a strong current under the surface, then it has to take me near land at some point. is a mountain lake, so there would have been a bottleneck somewhere. Maybe someone in a boat or on a jet ski will come along and take me back to land. She felt embarrassed and stupid. How had she found herself in this situation? Meta thought about Chris. She hoped he had realized her disappearance by now and raised the alarm. People would be looking for her. She would be okay. She closed her eyes and let the low-lying mist wash over her as a cooling breeze. It had a faint odor that she couldn't quite place. It felt like she was on another world. It'll be okay, she told herself. Everything would be okay. It was then she slowly became aware that she was sinking into the water. It was slow and gradual, but she was definitely sinking lower into the lake. Her heart felt like it was in her throat and blood pulsed through her ears. She was too tired to swim anymore. Please, just stay afloat a little longer. Let me rest, she pleaded. Meta squeezed the inflatable, and sure enough, it was softer than it was before. Perhaps it had sprung a leak when she was squeezing it under her arms as she swam. She looked around to see if she was near the water's edge, on any side, but they all looked equally far away. Chris! She shouted. Tears began to run down her face and her nose filled with fluid. Where was he? He was always so dependable. He was her rock. Always. Meta couldn't explain it, but she actually felt betrayed by the fact he wasn't there. She shouted his name again, hoping to hear a response. But there was nothing. She looked around for something, anything that could give her hope, but the water looked dark and foreboding. Then, for the briefest of moments, she thought she could see movement in the depths. Her blood turned cold. Although her rational mind knew it was likely to be just a harmless fish, her instincts told otherwise. It was bigger, more sinister, and more dangerous in her mind. And for some reason, she felt she was being watched from below. Meta shouted for help, for anyone to save her. She felt stupid for doing it, but she couldn't think of anything else to do. She held onto the inflatable, but it seemed to be deflating even faster now. The water was coming in from all sides, and it was freezing. Something was happening. Something unnatural. The mist was getting thicker around her, and she knew just by instinct that something was in the water, waiting to strike. Her shouts turned to screams as the inflatable eyelid that had once been her lifeboat became a tangle of plastic around her limbs. Meta thrashed around in panic. No, not like this, she told herself. I will not die like this. She had a feeling that whatever was lurking under the surface would attack soon, so she let go of the lilo and began to make a swim for it. It might be hopeless, but she had to try. She would swim with every ounce of energy she had. She would reach the shore and find her husband, and he would hold her, and she would hold him. They would never let each other go again. Meta kicked and kicked as she swam, but as she pushed past the sinking lilo, it caught her right knee and wrapped around her leg like a piece of seaweed. She knew she needed to unwind it with her hand to get free, but before she had a chance to grab the edge of the plastic, she felt it pull her down. The lilo was actually tugging at her leg, Meta realized. Had it caught on something, or had something caught the other end? She tried to look behind her, but saw nothing but mist. She reached down to untangle herself, but then she felt the pull again. This time it was unmistakable. Something had taken control of the lilo. Meta only had a split second, but she took a deep breath before her entire body was pulled under. She wanted to see what was pulling her, but the water was too dark and blurry. She could see the yellow streak of deflating plastic and a load of bubbles, but nothing past that. Adrenaline surged through her system. She looked back up to the surface and saw a glint of sunlight. She tried to swim towards it, to wrestle free from the lilo, but her limbs were numb from exhaustion and the cold. Her lungs burned, and she blew out through her nose to relieve some of the pressure. She wasn't going to last long, but she still clung to a feeling of hope. Not like this, Meta thought. It can't end like this. The pull was strong, and she was deep underwater now. She felt the water pressure build up against her and realized there was no use fighting it anymore. Her body went limp. The last of her breath left her body, and Meta sank into the darkness, accepting her fate. Her lips trembled and burned, and then she finally gulped and let the water rush in, filling her lungs as she entered oblivion. And just in that final moment, when darkness and eternity embraced her, she felt the touch on the back of her hand. It had her.
BristolCon Fringe is a monthly reading series produced by the BristolCon Foundation. Our thanks to the Shakespeare Tavern for providing us with a venue. The music at the beginning of this podcast is The Future by Chevy 174.